is Tuesday, April 24th, and we are live with the 16th episode of our podcast. I am always John Callahan, and once again we are joined by our two podcast co-hosts, Larry Clooney. How are you, Larry?
Good, John. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, and over in Australia, handling the streaming video and audio portion of our podcast is Tim. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. It's just looking outside, it just started to rain, so I think it's winter's setting in a bit here. So
We've actually had we've actually had some rather cold weather for late April here. We've had some going down in the 30s Fahrenheit here, and I know Larry up where you live, you've actually had some snow in parts of your area, I think.
Yeah, no, it got really cold again. It's been really crazy weather. It was like 85 degrees just like a week ago, and now it's like back to 40.
Yeah. Indeed. I don't quite understand what's going on there, but that's what's going on. But, as I said, this is our latest episode of our podcast and our newest one on our relatively new Neo Gamer site, where we've actually had some a good amount of traffic today, thanks to Reddit and a article by one of our writers, Jake, where he's been working on a Pokemon Crystal side project for the Game Boy Advance. That's apparently gotten a lot of traffic today. So congratulations to Jake. It certainly is actually a very interesting article. If you haven't checked it out, I would definitely suggest you do so. It's something that's probably not doesn't get a lot of attention among the mainstream gaming sites about these little mod projects that people create for the Game Boy Advance. But it's actually pretty cool if you're into mod projects and or Pokemon, one of the two.
So, yeah, it's good to see our staff is joining in community stuff like that. So yeah, good work to Jake for that.
Yes, definitely. And hopefully we will have more from Jake about that kind of content on our site. I'm going to make a little news here. If you're listening to this podcast live tonight, I've got a little bit of some content news that's going to be going up hopefully the next few hours. We will have, I think, unless someone else beats us to it, the very first interview with Human Head Studios concerning their upcoming Rune revival. I think we mentioned this in our last podcast, that they are actually thinking about launching Rune which was a game that they created in 2000 for the PC, and later for the PS2, a third-person melee action game with a Viking setting. Got in touch with the folks at Human Head, and they gave us a little bit of information about their plans for the game, including some information about the plans for a previous revival for Rune that didn't quite take off as planned. So if you're listening to this live, you're getting the exclusive here first, and we'll be posting up that interview in the next few hours, so be sure to watch for that. And
nice.
So that's going to be kind of cool, and hopefully we'll have some other cool content going up in the next few days and weeks ahead as we get closer and closer to E3 2012. We are, believe it or not, we are now just 6 weeks away from the start of E3.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's quite soon.
It's quite soon. It starts June 7th. June 5th. There'll be some pre-E3 press conferences on June 4th, the Monday before, from Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft, and EA have all announced their dates. And Nintendo is expected to announce their pre-E3 press conference soon-ish. So I'm actually probably going to have to get started on getting my appointments done. So that's always fun. I mean, I've been to every E3 since 1997, and going to E3 and reporting on it is fun. The hard part is actually before, where you have to schedule the appointments and make sure you're not overlapping too much on which publisher presentation you're going to go towards.
Hopefully I'll get to one eventually.
We would love to have you here. I think you would enjoy it, Tim. We'd love to have you here, and I'd love to help me report on it. Actually,
yeah, maybe 1 year, but it's just a bit far away, you know. But it does definitely sound cool.
It is pretty darn cool, and if NeoGamer takes off as we would like to, hopefully we will have be able to bring in more people to go in next year. So should also actually have some interesting E3 2012 related news here on NeoGamer in the very near future. Haven't got it quite nailed down yet, but we hope we will get that nailed sometime in the next week or so. So we're pretty excited about that. We'll talk about that in the next podcast, hopefully. We've had some pretty busy stuff happening in the gaming community in the past week or so. One of the interesting things was the upcoming teaser for the next Call of Duty game, which is being should be announced on May 1st, which is literally a week away from today. It's supposed to be announced during the basketball NBA playoffs here in the United States. In case you're not familiar with that, Tim, I think so. But there's been some interesting little teasers posted up on the Call of Duty website that's been. I don't know if you guys have seen it. There's a post about a new kind of weapon that may or may not be used in the game. That was actually posted earlier today. It's some kind of, I forget what it's called. They say it's called a prototype quad rotor with machine gun.
Oh yeah. If you subscribe to FPS Russia on YouTube, he did this sort of like video thing where he showed off this weird quadricopter thing with a machine gun attached to it, and right at the end it said it was sponsored by the makers of Call of Duty, so I guess that does give you a bit of a hint about that. And it looked really cool on the video. Obviously it was live action or whatever, so
definitely. And there's of course hints that the game, that this new Call of Duty game, will be taking place in the near future. In the tier future timeline, we've had the original Call of Duty games, World War II games, and then we went to Modern Warfare, and then Treyarch did Black Ops 2 years ago, which kind of took place in the Cold War in the 1950s and 60s, in that time period. So now we're moving toward the near future, I guess, kind of like what the Ghost Recon games from Ubisoft are supposed to be about. So we'll see how that works. Again, the full reveal is supposed to be on May 1st. So, what do you guys think? Do we need a Call of Duty game that's in the near future?
Nope.
Call of Duty. I've never heard of that. What are you talking about?
yeah. It's one of those games that they've done it. They've definitely done it. I can't see myself enjoying, another one of the exactly the same games last year, just improving on it just a tiny little bit. So, got to say, I'm not excited for it. So, just putting that out there. But, it could be good.
You know what, though? I got to give him credit. I mean, even though I do feel the series itself is saturated and, it's getting really redundant with the yearly releases, overall the single players are fun to play. I've always likened them to, they're like a Michael Bay movie, people like to make fun of them and they like to say how trash they are, but they're still entertaining at the end of the day, and the truth is they're fun games to play, so I'll play it. I definitely will, there's no doubt about it. So I can't say I'm looking forward to it as far as it's a game I'm excited to play, but I will play it, and I'm sure I'll like playing it, you know? So, yeah,
there's outstanding multiplayer. They really do a good job of that. I can't see myself, you know, paying whatever it is, $50 or $60, you know, every year for a game that's pretty much the same as last year's game. So, yeah, I think that's my main problem. Not that it's, you know, fun, because it is. It's just that, you know, it's the same. So,
right. Well, it's kind of like, you know, sports games now. When, you know, the next football game or the next soccer game or the next basketball game comes out, it's basically just the same game with a few new features and maybe a little bit of improved graphics. And you know, Activision seems to think that this is going to be the way to go with future Call of Duty games. And I just think that, you know, Activision is prone to running game franchises that are super popular in their past into the ground and making them less popular. I mean, the two biggest examples of that are the Tony Hawk series and the Guitar Hero series. They ran both of those games straight into the ground with multiple releases for both titles, sometimes more than one game a year. And people just got tired of it, and they decided to abandon them in mass. And Activision no longer makes Guitar Hero or Tony Hawk games. And I just, you know, I think that in order to preserve your franchise, you have to make people kind of wait a little longer to get them.
I think the DLC market is doing a bit with both the Call of Duty games and the Guitar Hero games, because like with Call of Duty, they have their Elite subscription thing, and they're releasing like a ton of downloadable content, like heaps of new maps and all that sort of stuff. So it's sort of like, you know, if you're getting like pretty much a new game in downloadable content, it makes the purchase of the next game, you know, less enjoyable. And sort of like with Guitar Hero, you had the downloadable music as well, and if there's no new features in the next game, why do that when you can just purchase the songs that you want from the downloadable content market? So, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it's just, I really do wish that they would kind of calm down on the call and just release them every 2 years or so and come up with some other, IP they can release, you know, in the even or odd years. You know, they're supposed to be a varied publisher, but they just seem to be just the Call of Duty publisher now, with maybe a few, you know, side projects like Prototype that's coming out this week from Activision. You know, that could conceivably be a great game, but I just don't think that. But Activision doesn't seem to be as behind that franchise as they are the Call of Duty games.
Yeah.
You know, quality over quantity. I think that's a real good example here, where they definitely could use use a little discretion and just don't release so many games like you're saying. And can I just say rest in peace, Tony Hawk, because that's one of my favorite series.
Yeah, really? Definitely.
I never really got into the Tony Hawk games, to be quite honest. I never really understood the skateboarding games.
I used to skateboard myself, so that's a huge, reason. Yeah, that's a huge reason why I was into it. And I'm really looking forward to the HD release one that they're doing, actually. I hope they don't touch it and it's just HD graphics. If they do that, I'm going to love it. If they've touched it and try to make it like the more recent Tony Hawk games, forget it. It's going to be awful.
Yeah, just don't do an SSX. Just don't make it like that.
Yeah.
The original Tony Hawk's were good, so.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it as well. Even up to Tony, I think 4 was the last good one, right?
Was it
4? Yeah, because after that, then it was like. Yeah, yep. Then it was like American Wasteland and those other ones that were bad. But
They had a
couple good ones, so I'm hoping, I don't know. I love the series, and like I said, looking forward to the HD one. But they're on dangerous ground with Call of Duty. I think this is a pretty pivotal year for Call of Duty. I think people might finally kind of realize, hey, why do we keep paying for the same thing? But maybe not, because it has such a huge, huge following.
Well, there was a report a few weeks ago that claimed that that sales of Modern Warfare 3, while they were super high at first, are now kind of declining and are not selling as much as, you know, Black Ops did at the previous year. So they're showing that, you know, a lot of analysts are saying, oh, well, that just proves that the Call of Duty franchise is starting to lose steam. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, let's just face facts. The next Call of Duty game is still going to sell millions of copies and probably more than any other game coming out. But there's still a danger that it probably won't be. We won't see quite as high of a sales as we have. So I think that Activision should keep that in mind.
Yeah, and plus there's those gamers that they're just Call of Duty gamers, like just every year that's the only game they get, they play it all year and stuff like that, so they still definitely have a huge market they can cater to. So
yeah, it, like I said, reminds me a bit of the like the Madden series, that there are gamers that they only play, you know, Madden NFL, and that's all they play. And so that's what the Call of Duty series is like. So anyway, did you guys check out the Crysis 3 full gameplay trailer this morning? By the way, have you guys seen it yet?
Yeah, I did. I checked that out just last night when someone posted up the news in the feed. And they do have live gameplay in it, don't they?
Yes, they do. They actually put down their actual gameplay footage down there at the bottom.
It looks amazing. Like, I just have to say, it looks absolutely stunning. I mean, it's bound to be on PC, the graphics that they've shown, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, without question. Yeah, it should be pretty awesome.
I was bringing it up before. I think, John, you were the one that posted it, right?
That's right.
Yep, I'm bringing it up right now because I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, the first part I think is actually pre-rendered, but then in the middle they go into some combat gameplay footage.
The difference between the pre-rendered stuff and the actual in-game stuff that they've said is in-game, however, you know, legitimate that is, it's not that different. I mean, it looks pretty close. So
it's
got to be amazing. Yeah.
It's going to be an amazing looking game. I just hope it's an amazing playing game. And like I said, it looks like that Crytek is learning their lesson from the botched PC release of Crysis 2, and they're going to have DirectX 11 visual effects out of the box for this game. So thumbs up for that. That will definitely help PC sales.
They're also claiming that the console version is going to have DirectX comparable graphics, right?
Well,
what does
that mean, really?
Right.
that just sounds like marketing speak to me.
Yeah, definite. I think I'll have to improve my PC before I play it. Mine's
oh, wow.
Old, yeah.
I'm checking it out now.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it does look insane.
It's pretty impressive stuff there. So we're definitely looking forward to that, but of course we're going to have to wait a year. Hopefully I'll get to see that at E3 over at EA's booth. As a matter of fact, that's one of the first appointments I actually have at E3 is going to EA's booth. I actually make that appointment all set up and ready to go. So looking forward to that. We'll get to see the new Command & Conquer game at E3. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but you know, I guess what do they say they are? The release schedules for things. I get sent those every month by EA, so that's always in there. So they're definitely planning for a release. So yeah, you might see it.
I might. We'll see what happens. There was a very interesting little leak that happened this weekend. Someone posted up the new employee manual from Valve Software. Now, this would probably be something that's fairly dry in any other company's hands. You know, as they, you know, when a person is hired by a major company, they probably get a manual where they're supposed to do their do's and don'ts of what they're supposed to do. But of course, Valve does stuff very differently from any other company, and their new employee manual is no different. It's funny, it's entertaining, it's very informed about how Valve works and what their philosophy is on how workers are supposed to operate. But the most part of it, it's very entertaining, and it's full of great illustrations and that showcase what they do. And I don't know if you guys have seen that yet. Have you guys had a chance to look through at least some of the employee handbook?
Yeah, I did.
I'm giving it a look now, so.
I thought it was very, very cool and interesting. I mean, I love Valve. I've always said how much I love them. And just to get an inside peek at, you know, their kind of philosophy behind things, and it was real cool, very cool leak.
Yep. It's, you know, I find it interesting that when you're hired by Valve, you know, they call it they have a flat system of how they operate in terms of their workers. There's no true hierarchy. You know, Gabe Newell is supposedly the CEO and leader, but he's not really supposed to be technically above you in term if you work at Valve. Everyone's kind of on an even keel. Anyone can join any project that they want. You know, you're not assigned a project. You can choose a project, and even supposedly people are supposedly able to fight for you for your project that you play. At Valve, and you know, and it's a kind of a, and obviously Valve has got a lot of people. This is not a small indie game developer with just a couple of dozen people. This is a huge multi-hundred game developer, and they still have this kind of a startup philosophy on how to work, and it's very refreshing. And you have to wonder, if it works for Valve, why can't it work for any other company, gaming or non-gaming business?
Yeah, I was looking at the managers then. It's completely not what I was expecting. Like, whoa. Really? Yeah. I was expecting some...
What were you expecting, Tim?
I don't know. It just seems, you know, very, very creative what they've actually put in there, you know, with their little cartoons and stuff like that all through it. So I was just thinking it'd be some, you know... You know, paper document, just Times New Roman on white, you know, that sort of thing. But no. They've got
it here. Yeah, it's exactly what I was expecting. That's funny.
No,
it's very insightful. And again, I think it's a primer for companies who, you know, companies who are just starting out, that you don't have to have the typical hierarchy at a lowly worker versus a sub manager versus a manager and so on and so forth, and it's you know, the results are very, you know, Valve has created some of the greatest games of all time. You know, Half-Life, Counter-Strike, Left 4 Dead, Portal, all of these games, you know, are among the top, I would say, among the top 100 games of all time, if not in the top 10 of all time. And it's done very well for them. And, of course, they've got two upcoming games, announced games, that are currently in beta, Dota 2 and Counter-Strike Global Offensive. I believe that's what the subtitle is. And there's actually a little bit of news about Half-Life 3. Gabe Newell actually made an appearance on a podcast in which he talked about Ricochet 2, but in fact he was talking about Half-Life 3, and he was basically saying that they didn't really like to talk about the game because, you know, they may be making some major changes in the game, and as a result they didn't want to kind of just reveal about these major changes before they were ready to talk about them. So it sounds like they've been doing a lot of work on Half-Life 3, and they've had a lot of changes in their philosophy. And
as long as they haven't ditched it.
Yeah, I don't think they haven't. I don't think they would risk ditching it. They're not going to leave Gordon Freeman in that situation they left him in Half-Life 2, Episode 2, would they? I mean, really?
I mean, people are expecting some sort of, you know, sequel to Half-Life 2, Episode 2, so... Yeah, they can't ditch it.
I would hope not. I think there would be riots in the streets if if Valve said, you know, we're not going to do that game anymore.
Yeah, it would disappoint a lot of people.
There have been petitions. Yeah, there have been petitions, like online petitions, asking Valve for more information about Half-Life 3. Now, having said that, I don't think that those people should be demanding that Valve get more information about the game, because Valve deserves to move at their own pace. But at the same time, if Valve were to suddenly announce, we have no more plans on making any more games in the Half-Life series, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Although I think Half-Life 3 is on the back burner. It's not one of their major projects right now. Obviously, they're focusing on the two games you previously mentioned. But yeah, we'll see something at some point.
Yeah. And of course, they're working on this hardware project, this wearable computer hardware project or whatever it's going to be. So they have a lot of – and of course, they've got Steam. They're going to be probably constantly improving the Steam service. Actually, Gabe Newell talked about in the same podcast about how how EA's Origin system still has a lot of problems with it, and of course, Valve is not able to get EA's newest PC games anymore for Steam. Things like Mass Effect 3 and Battle 303, you can't buy them on Steam, and because EA has chosen to post them on Origin. And how much you want to bet? How many copies do you think EA would sell of Battlefield 3 and Mass Effect 3 if they were on Steam as opposed to Origin? A lot more, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Heaps more. They're not going to lose sales by putting it on Steam.
Absolutely not. I think it's kind of foolish for EA to kind of, I don't know what their beef is with Valve. Supposedly, I think Valve wants more control over the update process that EA wants to give them. But what's the trade off here? You got to think about the trade off. Do you want to make more money for your games, or do you want to have more control of your DSL content? I think I would go for the money, but that's just me.
I think EA also thinks that their service is better. Just overall, it's better, but.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it isn't. So,
no, it's not.
If you make a product like that is competing with Steam, you're bound to think that your own service is better. So, yeah, I think they made a mistake not putting it on Steam. But I'm actually not a PC gamer myself, so it doesn't really affect me that much.
No, I guess not. But at the same time, I've tried Origin. And, EA has the rights to do what they want to do. It's their company. They can do what they want. But I, if I were the leader of that company and I saw a potential money revenue stream coming from Steam, I would try it. And to heck with trying to make it an exclusive. So.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I don't think Origin is that bad. I've never had an issue with it. And. In a way, I kind of like it more than Steam, believe it or not.
Why do you say? Okay, try and sell me on that.
I actually think it's a little more streamlined. And now, granted, there's a lot less games, so it's going to be more streamlined by default. But I don't think it's any more. It's basically EA's version of Steam, so it's not that. The reason I don't think it's that much different than Steam is it's more or less exactly like Steam. It just has a different skin and a different name. So my biggest thing is, I don't really care at the end of the day, because I remember, and I know you do too, John, we're spoiled by Steam and all these services. I remember having 25 to 50 icons on my desktop of the games I had installed. And usually I would create a folder for them to try to keep track of them. But you know what I mean. I mean, there used to be a day, and a lot of people don't remember it, but there wasn't any service like Steam, and there wasn't anything. You installed games individually. You uninstalled them individually. So if anything, I kind of just see them both as an added bonus. Sure, it would make things a lot more convenient if I just had one app to control everything. But, I'm not – I'm not really mad that I have two or even three or four apps because, you know, with The Witcher, I remember I had to, you know, I had to download GOG's version of their little client. Perfect example, Tribes Ascend. I wanted to check that out. Had to install their little client.
Right.
So, you know, it happens, and I don't really, you know, I understand why people do it because, in a way, if you just let Valve control everything, then, you know, they, at the end of the day, they become a monopoly. And
competition's,
you know,
good.
Right. Yeah, I strongly believe that competition in any field, no matter gaming, whatever it may be, competition is always a good thing because it pushes the people to be good at what they're doing. Like, if Valve had no competition, see, Valve is a different story because I think no matter what, they push themselves internally. You know, we were just talking about it before they had their cool employee handbook and all that. So Valve maybe isn't the best example, but even Valve, I think, could potentially get a little lazy if they were the only game in town. So The fact that, you know, the fact that EA has come out and released their own client, if anything, that just kind of forces Valve to step their game up that much more and make Steam that much better. That's kind of the way I see it. So I don't really mind it.
I agree with you up to a point, Larry. I do think there needs to be competition in this market. I don't think that Steam needs to be the one dominant player at all. I just question the fact that that EA is doing it just because they want to be a true competitor to Steam. I agree with you that it's probably more streamlined because there's less games available than Valve has on Steam, and I agree there's really not much difference. I guess my point is that, you know, here's the thing about Valve. I get the feeling from Valve is that they pressure themselves to make their games and Steam better. They feel that their biggest competitor is with themselves and trying to service their customers better. Whereas EA's philosophy is, hey, there's this company that's making all this money off of this PC game client. We need to make one too. And so EA is working on a kind of a defensive kind of philosophy, whereas Valve is working on a way to simply make their games more available to their customers. I mean, that's why they created Steam in the first place. You know, but way back in 2004, because they wanted to have a way for people to download and purchase Half-Life 2, you know, in the comfort of their own home without having to walk into a retail game store. That's how that started. It wasn't anything about. So while I definitely do think that there needs to be competitors to Steam, I definitely don't think that Valve needs to be the number one person in this market. I just feel like the EA's Origins system is not it. If anything, I think that Valve should be worried more about the streaming game services like OnLive. That, to me, is a true competitor to Steam. You know, why download all these large, you know, 6-10 gigabyte files to my hard drive, where I just simply take a few minutes and stream that thing to my PC and play it that way. To me, that's the real competitor.
And you make a good point about EA and their whole reason why they're doing it. So I could see you there, and I'll agree with that definitely.
Yeah, and I think the Windows Store will have a bit to do with it as well, with the whole you know, deep integration with you know, the operating system and probably as well Games Windows Live and Xbox Live. So they're going to have their competition stepping up a little bit here in the next couple of years. So I think Valve will be a bit more pressured, especially with the release of Windows 8, to get, you know, make their servers the best out of all the ones there. Especially because if it's on Windows 8 Store, it's so easy for people. You just click on the store, you search for it if it's there, you know. So, don't know.
Exactly. I wrote an editorial about this on Heelwind just a few weeks ago about how Windows 8 and the Windows Store could be the biggest competitive issue with Valve and Steam. And, you know, it's still early days. I mean, there's only a few You know, we're still in the consumer preview version of Windows 8.
Yes, you can't really tell.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to tell what the final product is going to be. But let's face facts. When Windows 8 comes out, it's going to be coming out on millions of PCs all at once, and that Windows Store is going to be there on millions of PCs all at once. It's, you know, people won't have to, you know, have to download a client as they have to with Steam. It'll just be there, ready to go. So,
yeah, so that's a big selling point for the Windows Store. So you've got to think how Valve will combat that. Maybe they'll try and get deals to have it, you know, preloaded as the sort of game client to go on some, you know, more gaming oriented PCs or something like that. Yep. So
I think they've already done that with Alienware. I'm pretty sure Alienware has already got a deal to have that kind of client already loaded up with all of their Alienware PCs, and I'm sure that that Valve will be making similar deals in the future with that. But, you know, but EA Origin is definitely not the competitor to Steam.
Not as it stands right now.
Yeah, as it stands right now.
Do in the future.
Who knows what they'll do in the future? But at the moment, you know, Origin is Valve is definitely not worried about Origin. But they should be worried about On Live, and they definitely should be worried about Windows 8. And Windows Store. I actually, as a sidebar, I actually tried to install the Windows 8 Consumer Preview this weekend. It wouldn't let me. My PC wouldn't let me. It said, Windows 8 Consumer Preview didn't like my PC, and it reverted right back to Windows 7 for me. So, there's that. So I guess I'll have to wait for the preview version that's supposed to be coming out the first week of June. Gosh, first week of June is going to be busy, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got exams then too, so that's even more busy for me.
Oh, I'm sure. You're going to have a lot of stuff to do. But, I mean, I'm going to be in L.A. doing E3, and Microsoft's going to be releasing, you know, the Windows 8 preview version that first week sometime. I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft's E3 press conference doesn't have some Windows 8 gaming news. You know, would seem to be a way to work, but who knows? There was one other thing I wanted to kind of bring up that I wanted to quickly mention, and I'm trying to figure out. Just quickly mention, and we actually posted this on NeoGamer, the Walking Dead game has actually gone live on Steam right at the moment, and I'm not sure if it's on Xbox or PS3 right now, but it's definitely on available for the PC, and actually I think it's actually getting some good reviews.
I just purchased it. As we were doing this podcast, I purchased it. What really sealed the deal for me was I saw it has Steam Play. So buy it on Steam and you get Mac and you get both versions, the Mac and Windows version. Yep. So I literally just spent the $24.99 and I'm at 82%.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's actually getting some good reviews. I was actually worried that, you know, because of the horrible Jurassic Park game that I had the misfortune to play last
not the
fall.
Best company history, I've got to say, for games.
No. But it sounds like at least for this game, they've got the formula right. So I'm definitely going to be trying to play that this week in between my Tribes Ascend time period. So,
well, what's interesting is, you know, it's not really usually the type of game I'm necessarily attracted to, because it's kind of, from what I've got out of it, it's kind of like a point and click adventure, you know, but kind
it's
of story like
based,
a,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's story based.
But I love the comic so much. I mean, I think I've mentioned to you guys, I literally went on a mad reading spree. I read all 96 issues of the comic in like less than a month. So I'm just totally addicted to everything Walking Dead. So I'm literally purchasing it for the story aspect. To me, the gaming part is just kind of a afterthought, which is kind of funny. I've never thought I'd really get to a point like that, but that's totally mm-hmm. where it's at for me. I'm all about the game, and hopefully it has some fun gameplay. I'm really hoping it does, but I'm just looking for a continuation of the Walking Dead story. So I'm sure anyone else who's into it like I am and will hopefully enjoy it as well. And I literally plan on checking it out on my Mac laptop tonight. So I'll hopefully have I'll hopefully have some feedback next week.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Just want to quickly go over a few interesting little bits of news that popped up from the last week. Activision, talking about Activision, they just announced a new James Bond game called 007 Legends last week.
Oh, really?
It's going to be an Xbox 360 PS3 game. And the interesting thing about this game is that it's going to actually have story elements from six classic James Bond games, along with the upcoming James Bond film Skyfall. They haven't exactly announced how that's going to work yet. They haven't announced which previous James Bond movies are going to be using. That's how that's going to work. And another interesting thing is they're going to have some co-op missions that are similar to what we've seen in the Call of Duty games, where we'll see some different kind of gameplay besides first-person shooting games. And you'll also get to play in these co-op missions as James Bond's friends and also villains as well. So I'm a huge James Bond fan, but I've not really been a big fan of a lot of the James Bond games that have come out in the past few
years. There's been a few good ones, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's a game based on a movie, so it's probably not going to be that good. But
It's not. Sounds like it's going to be actually pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a bit of an exception to James Bond ones, like that GoldenEye. Obviously, that was a huge hit. Way back when.
I thought that last game was actually kind of decent, and it got kind of slammed with the reviews, and it was a decent game. I mean, wasn't groundbreaking by any means, but it was kind of. It had some decent moments to it. I was actually expecting a really bad game, and it that wound up being like a.
Was that
I forget the name
or
of it.
Quantum of Solace?
Was that GoldenEye was that GoldenEye Reloaded, or was it?
The Quantum of Solace one. It had to be.
Quantum
I think.
Of Solace. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't horrible.
I thought it was pretty bad. I played it. It was very good.
Am I thinking of the right one? Did it open up on like a boat? Do you remember?
No, I think you're thinking of Bloodstone. That was the third person game. That was pretty bad too. Those games were really not very good. Like I said, I'm a big James Bond fan, and I've played most of the games, and you know at least part of them, part of the way. And I GoldenEye is obviously the classic game for the N64. And you know really made the first person shooter game. Good for the console for when it was first starting out, but you know, EA actually had some pretty cool James Bond games during its time. They actually did that Everything or Nothing game, which was an original game, which I thought was kind of fun. And then they did that From Russia with Love, which was kind of a retro game with Sean Connery himself doing James Bond, and I thought that was kind of fun too. But most of the rest were pretty forgettable. But
yeah, there's actually more games than I thought in the James Bond gaming series. So
yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, surprising amount. But I guess there's a lot of films too.
I think we're like 24 films now in the James Bond franchise, not counting some of the spin-offs and unofficial stuff. So yeah, there's a lot. Another quick mention, Darksiders 2, I think a game that you were actually looking forward to playing, Tim.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It got pushed back from June to August, unfortunately. They're basically saying that they need some more time to finish the game off. Certainly THQ would probably like to have a nice big hit at this moment. And, you know, if they want to take a little extra time to make sure that Darksiders 2 is going to work well, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a good sequel, so, you know, as I've said a couple of times before, the more time you spend hopefully equates into a better game at the end, so I'm definitely eager to play that when it comes out now in August.
Also, Sony announced, to no one's huge surprise, a new God of War PlayStation 3 game called God of War Ascension, coming out sometime in 2013. It'll probably be, you know, we'll probably get to learn more about that game at E3 this year. but there's some speculation that it's going to be a prequel game.
Yeah.
But we'll see what that happens. See how that that works out. Are you guys looking forward to playing Max Payne 3? I am. I'm actually looking forward to playing Max Payne 4 now.
Yeah, I'm trying to set up my reviews for that. Rockstar hasn't got back to me, but I think I'll have to call them up. But I'm definitely looking forward to that. It's probably my one to look out for in May, so...
Yep.
It's my most anticipated game of the year. Really? Yeah. Hear it.
Apart from Bioshock Infinite, it's definitely one of the biggest ones of the year, so...
All right. Yeah, I would definitely say Bioshock Infinite is my number one game, but Max Payne 3 is definitely a close second. So, and of course, as I think we mentioned last time, Diablo 3 and Max Payne 3 are coming out the same day, so it's going to be a busy week for gamers that week. Want to mention also Trials Evolution came out last week. Folks over at Red Lynx developed the game. This is kind of a follow-up to their Trials HD game. It broke the first day sales record on Xbox Live Arcade, supposedly over 100,000 copies were sold. In fact, it was so popular that it actually broke Microsoft's Xbox Live servers for a few hours after its launch. And I know, Larry, I know you played it this week. What did you think?
Love it. Awesome game. I really, really liked the first one. It's the first game, but just better. They basically improved on all aspects. I'm really looking forward to the fact that there's a whole level editor in it. I think some think some real good stuff's going to come out of the community there. And the one thing was I got to experience those broken servers because one of the big things about the games is it has leaderboards. So after you do a level, you could see how you did against other people. And I was literally wondering what – I knew something had to be happening because it was taking upwards of 25 to 30 seconds just to refresh the leaderboards, and that's when it actually worked. A lot of times it just eventually gave me an error message, but after like 30 seconds, and I actually, the only downfall was I had to redo a couple of those original levels because my times never stuck on the leaderboard.
Happens.
Yeah. It was a little annoying, but, I actually knew that it had to mean good things that they sold a lot of copies. So I was actually pretty happy for them. So it was the first time I saw technical difficulties where I didn't really matter that. Well, I didn't get that angry because I thought to myself, this must be a good thing. They didn't, they sold more than they thought they were going to. But awesome game. Highly recommended. If people like the first one, then to me it's a no-brainer. But if you're on the fence about it, if you're a fan of to go way back, the original Excitebike game on this Super Nintendo, that's what it most reminds me of, just a super modern-day version of Excitebike, but has really awesome physics, and it's a really challenging game. The difficulty gets really ramped up pretty quickly, so especially for people that like mastering things, it's one of those games where you really want to find the perfect run for each level. And so highly recommend it. Definitely see why it's the best-selling game. Really good game, and just super addicted to it right now.
Cool. Excellent. I'm getting close to the end here, so I wanted to quickly mention games that will be coming out in the next week. Lara, you got a PS Vita. Are you looking forward to the Mortal Kombat game that's coming out next week?
Yeah, I'm going to check. I'm going to rent it. I'm not buying it, but it's on my Gamefly queue. I'll check it out for the Vita. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, they're promoting it. They're really promoting it quite a lot. They're actually coming out with, live-action trailers for this
really?
Mortal Kombat game. Yeah, showing off some of the, some of the characters, some of the female characters, actually. Yeah, so they're really...
I like the older games in the series, so if they could somehow bring that magic to the Vita, then I might wind up keeping it. We'll see.
Cool. Also coming out in the next week is Sniper Elite 2. This is Rebellion's World War II sniper shooter game for the Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. I played the first Sniper Elite for like 5 minutes, and I didn't really like it that much. but you know, there's supposedly a demo. There's a demo released for all three platforms, so I'm actually going to try the demo out and see if it's going to be any good. So that's coming out next week. Coming out next week is Terra Online, which is a Korean-made fantasy MMO. The only reason I mention this is that it's getting some backing from a U.S. Company called Unmas Entertainment, and they used to work over at NCSoft, and apparently NCSoft didn't like what they saw of the game and are suing the folks at Unmas over Terra Online. So that's the only reason I bring this up, because hey, there are lawyers involved. So a fairly slow week next week, with the exception of Mortal Kombat for the PS Vita. And Larry, if you pick that up, definitely let us know what you care for that. But there's going to be a lot of good games coming up in the next few weeks in May. With, as I said, with Max Payne, with Diablo 3, and then later on with Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Got pretty pretty major games coming up in the next few weeks.
Speaking of, I checked out the multiplayer finally on the PS3 for PlayStation Plus people. They released the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Absolutely cool. Awesome. I went and pre-ordered it on Amazon. I loved it. Loved it.
Huh.
Yeah, now I don't know how big of a fan you guys are of the older games, but I've always really liked Ghost Recon, and I thought they kind of strayed for the past one or two games, but the multiplayer was great. It reminded me of classic Ghost Recon. What was the first one that came out on the Xbox 360? Future Soldier, was it?
No, it was, I don't know, it may have been Advanced Warfighter. I think that was.
That's it. Advanced, yeah, that's Graw, that's right. Yeah. It reminded me of that, honestly, just a updated version, and that I just thought that was, I really enjoyed it. Like I literally paid 2 matches and I went on Amazon and purchased the game. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good endorsement right there.
Average. I was just expecting it for some reason just to be sort of average, but yeah. Obviously, if you're liking it, then could be good for the final version.
It's definitely, it's not a run and gun game. It's definitely a strategical game. What I really thought was cool was it seemed people were already playing, like in the spirit of teamwork. People were really helping each other out. People were reviving each other. People were covering each other.
Oh yeah,
and
excellent.
Yeah, and the game is very much built. I forget the exact mode, but it was an objective based mode where you had to like. It told you, now you have to plant the EMP bomb, cover your teammates. So it was very objective-based, and, like, the two teams I was on, like I said, I played 2 matches, and we won both matches because we were, like, a pretty well-oiled machine. It was pretty cool. I was actually shocked that it was a beta of a game, and it was on a console, and, like, teamwork was, like, paramount. And, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I was second on the team with kills, and I only had 7 kills total. So,
wow.
Yeah, and that kind of puts things in perspective. Like, everyone was really, really playing as a team. It was very cool. And
I love
those games. I just always have preferred that sort of tactical sort of stuff than just running and gunning by yourself. So
yeah, me too.
I'm probably going to like it then. So
I hope my experience with the beta was kind of an indication of what's to come, but it seemed good. It definitely seemed good. So I'm really looking forward to that one now, too.
Yep. Wanted to quickly mention this Friday, Risen 2 Dark Waters is coming out for the PC via digital download. This is the sequel to Piranha Bytes' fantasy action RPG. I bring this up because The console versions were also supposed to be coming out at the same time, but they actually pushed those back until July 31st in the U.S. and August 3rd in the U.K. So if you want to play Risen 2 immediately, you have to go play the PC version when it comes out on Friday. And also next week is the PC version of Nexus, which is the kind of the arena first-person shooter that came out for the Xbox 360 a few weeks ago. This is the PC version, and it's supposed to have some updated DirectX 11 graphics and some other stuff. And I'm actually looking forward to playing that game because I'm actually a big fan of that kind of gameplay, and I would like
to
see.
You did an interview
kind of,
on that, like a couple of
yeah, like we did an interview ago? With that. Yeah, yeah, we did about a month ago with that.
Yeah, I read that. It seemed cool.
Yep, that was for the Xbox 360 version. So we're gonna be trying out the PC version. That's coming out on May 3rd for downloadable content. And so anyway, that's you guys have anything else you guys want to quickly mention or anything you guys you want to talk about?
No, I probably won't be doing a Prototype 2 review because of stupid Activision. Oh well.
Yeah. You don't have a game. You don't have a GameFly service down in Australia, like service like that, do you?
No. We can rent games from, like, I don't know if Blockbuster still exists here, but we used to be able to rent it from Blockbuster. But no mail service or anything like that. I don't think. I'm not confident because I usually just either borrow games from mates or buy it myself. So.
Sure.
I have one quick thing I want to mention. I just see Sony announced their the PlayStation Plus May deals, and I see if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber that lives in the U.S., you could buy Rayman Origins for $15 on the PS3. Now,
that's a good deal.
You do have to be PlayStation Plus, but you guys know I've been raving about that game up and down since I played it.
Yep. Yep,
$15, absolutely. That's they might as well be giving it away. It's that good of a game. So pick that up if you're a PlayStation Plus in the USA, definitely. That's coming up in May.
All right, excellent, excellent. And I think I actually read somewhere where there are actually some sequel rumors about Rayman Origins. There was some kind of marketing survey that was sent out to some people that basically said, hey, would you like to learn more about Rayman Origins 2? That has to make you happy.
Absolutely. Right now it's my game of the year.
Yep. All right. Well, excuse me. So I think we will, as I said, as we did last week, we kind of went a little over than we thought. But we, of course, had a lot of stuff to talk about. And I think we're going to have a lot to talk about for the next few weeks as we ramp up to E3. By the way, should we we might as well just talk about this. Should we do a live podcast during E3?
Sure. I reckon.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yep.
Yeah, if you're down, sure. Yeah,
I'd be happy to call in and just do that remotely as we've been doing for the past few weeks and just do a podcast during E3. So look for that as part of our E3 2012 coverage. As I said,
and it's on a Tuesday. Like E3 is actually on one of the days.
Yep. It officially starts on that Tuesday. We'll definitely try and do it. I think it'll actually be at 4 o'clock, and if we do it at our normal time, we'll have to do it at 4 o'clock, Los Angeles time. So that's right in the middle of things. So I'll probably just be doing it at their press little thing. So that's kind of cool. So, cool.
And I might give a whirl trying the podcast from the PS Vita because I saw they just announced Skype was released for the Vita today.
Yep. That's right.
So maybe I'll try that too.
Nice. Skype was released for the Vita today, and it actually has in-game notification. If you get a call on Skype while you're playing Mortal Kombat next week, you'll be able to be notified.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And you'll be able to pause your game and talk people on Skype and then go back to the game after you're done.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that on every Skype app.
Oh, but, yeah. That's cool. Very cool.
Yep. All right. So I guess that's we'll wrap things up for this week. And again, thanks for those of you who are listening to this on our streaming podcast. And thanks again to everyone else who is listening to this via our recording. We will be posting our recording up soon. And we will be back next week. Until then, this is John saying goodbye for Larry and Tim. And we will see you next week. Talk to you guys then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.